It happened on the 12th of October, 2007. Or at least, I think it did. My life since that day has been nothing but a messed up, bizarre story. No one believes me, as everyone I tell thinks I'm just crazy. But I know I'm not. I know what happened that day, and regardless of whether you believe me or not, this is my story. My name is James Smith, and as for as long as I can remember, I've never really had a home. Now, some people may see this as a bad thing, but to me it was perfect, as I truly felt like a free spirit every day I woke up. I moved around a lot while doing a few menial jobs here and there on the side to make ends meet. I didn't have much family, apart from my uncle who I used to travel with. He passed away a while ago, leaving me with his most prized possession, a little pink mirror. I don't know why, but he loved that thing to death, and I've always held on to it to remember him by. Apart from that, I really didn't own much. I just had a couple of clothes, the necessities, and my backpack. During my time on the road, I traversed the whole country, doing jobs during the day and staying at any available place at night. Most times, I'd stay at low-end hotels and motels, as they were cheap. Looking back on it now, I'm pretty sure that I stayed at over 1,000 motels while I was on the road, but this one particular motel that I'd never forget. It had the strangest name. It was called the Tempus Mortis Motel. The day was the 12th of October, 2007, and I had just finished doing a hard day's work. I think I was pretty much on the outskirts of town, so I found it harder to find a place to stay that night. I looked around for a couple of hours, and right when I was about to give up, I saw it. It was literally in the middle of nowhere, which to me was odd for a motel. I thought it was really odd because most of the motels I had seen were built beside bus stops or in active towns. That way, they always had an influx of customers who were always looking for a bed to sleep in. So seeing this one built right in the middle of nowhere made me think twice about going in. I don't know why, but something about it felt off and my instincts told me to steer clear. So I decided to look around a little more, but after walking and searching for a couple of hours, I found nothing. It was getting pretty dark now, and I knew I only had two choices. Either I slept on the ground outside in the cold, or I stayed at the strange motel I had avoided a while back. After a quick consideration, I decided to opt for the motel, as even though it gave off a strange vibe, it was still better than sleeping outside. So I made my way back to the motel. I still felt off about it while I walked back, so I told myself that I'd leave if anything strange happened. It was about 8:30 by the time I had arrived, and I remembered walking up to the building and seeing the parking lot completely empty, as there were no cars outside. I wasn't surprised, as I figured not many people would be staying here. As I got closer, I noticed the motel had a bright neon sign that read, "We offer the best timeless service." Perplexed, I wondered what that meant, as every other motel usually had the normal 24-hour service sign. As I walked on, I eventually brushed off the thought, as I assumed that it was just their slogan or something. I finally reached the building, and as I opened the doors to walk in, something changed. For starters, the air felt calm and serene. It was like all my troubles had gone as soon as I stepped into the building. I walked up to the reception, and the woman there greeted me with a huge smile as she looked at me and said, "Welcome to the Tempus Mortis Hotel, lost traveler. May I ask your name?" She was oddly cheerful, so I looked at her and said, "I'm James, James Smith, and I'd like a room for the night." She then opened up a book to write down my name before she said, "Okay, Mr. James, may I take you to your room?" "Sure," I responded with, "What? But I haven't paid yet." She then said, "Not to worry, Mr. James. We always provide our services first. You can pay when you leave." As she started getting the room keys from her desk, I started thinking to myself, because in all my years of traveling, no motel had ever offered a bed without pay. And while she did say I'd pay when I leave, something about that didn't seem true. Standing there in that reception, I realized that my gut instincts were right. Something was seriously wrong with this place. I thought about what to do next when the receptionist said something that pulled me from my thoughts. "No watches or mirrors." Confused, I said, "What?" The receptionist then repeated herself, saying, I'm about to take you to your room, so I'm asking you if you have any watches or mirrors. They aren't allowed here. Stunned, I asked, but that's a bit strange. May I ask why? She then said, it's just our motel's policy. Numerous thoughts began to run through my head as I wondered why they didn't allow those items. Normally, motels didn't care what you brought in, and when they did, it was only dangerous things like firearms or weapons. At this point, a lot of things weren't adding up. First, they offered a bed to me without paying, which was already screaming numerous alarms at me, as there was no such thing as a free bed. Then she blurted out this strange rule. I didn't know what was going on, but I knew I had to leave, as I had decided that I'd rather spend the night outside. But as I opened my mouth to tell her that I didn't want the room anymore, I heard the sound of thunder and I realized that it was now drizzling outside. The sudden rain made me take back my words because, as much as I wanted to leave, I couldn't afford to sleep in the rain and get sick. So, I responded with, no, I don't have any watches or mirrors, just my clothes and the necessities. After hearing that, she smiled and said, that's great, Mr. James. Now, if you'll kindly follow me to your room. As she showed me to my room, I heaved a sigh of relief that they didn't search me. As while I didn't have any watches, I did have a mirror. But there was no way I was going to give them that, so I decided to tell a little white lie. I then told myself it didn't matter as I was just going to spend the night and leave first thing in the morning. When we arrived at my room, I started to hear the sounds of numerous people chatting. I was shocked as I thought I was the only one there, so when the receptionist left, I decided to go check it out. I followed the noise to a lounge area, and what I saw left me speechless. About 100 people were spread out in the massive area, talking and chatting with themselves. It's really hard to describe, but they were all so diverse and differently dressed. At first, I thought there was some sort of costume party going on, as some of the men and women were sporting old Victorian-era suits and dresses from the 1800s. To the far left of the room, another group of people were wearing clothing that was from the early 2000s. But the more I took in the scene, I realized the people's clothing wasn't what shocked me. What shocked me more was that there were no cars in the parking lot, yet over 100 people were in the motel. I knew that they all couldn't have walked here, and eventually my brain couldn't take it anymore as I struggled to make sense of what was going on, but no matter how much I tried, I couldn't. I then slowly made my way to my room as I told myself that I just needed to go to bed and get the night over with so that I could leave as soon as it was morning. So I went to my room, locked the door, and went to bed. When I woke up the next morning, I realized that I had slept in. That was odd to me because I was usually an early bird and I hardly ever slept in. Brushing off the thought, I got up and did my morning activities before getting ready to leave. But when I was done, I didn't leave. It's hard to put into words, but it's as if my body didn't want to leave. So instead of going to the reception and checking out, I found myself making my way to the motel's lounge. They had a small bar, so I ordered a drink before sitting in one of the chairs. I drank for a little while before two arguing men started to walk up to me. Unlike some of the people there, they were dressed in modern clothing. When they finally reached me, the first man said, hey, you're new here, right? So I replied with, yes, I am. Any problem? The man then said, good, good. Now will you tell this idiot here that it's the New York Jets that won the Super Bowl this year? His other friend then retorted with, no, you tell this madman that it's the Los Angeles Rams that won this year. Please tell him that I'm right and that it was a massive win against the Redskins. They started to argue again before I said, look guys, I'm not really that into sports, but I heard that it was the Indianapolis Colts that won this year. When I was done speaking, they both had a shocked look on their faces before they busted out laughing. When they were done, the second man then said, hear that, Frank? He's saying that the Colts won. He's even crazier than us. And with that, they walked away laughing. Now, I wasn't really into sports, so I thought I might have been wrong. But as the day passed, I kept on having more and more strange conversations with the people at that motel. As later in the day, two people came in to sit at my table. They started talking about politics, but all they could do was argue as one of them said, President Nixon's doing a shit job. The other person then looked shocked as he said, who? You mean President Roosevelt. I started getting tensed again, and I started to rack my brain at the confusion. I knew that the current president of the United States was George Bush. But I wasn't sure as I couldn't really remember. All my memories were now foggy, and the more I fought to remember, the harder it became to remember anything. As I sat there in deep thought, a pretty girl walked up to my table and offered me a drink. She then looked at me and said, "You look worried. What's wrong?" And I replied with, "I don't know. I'm trying to remember something that I wanted to do this morning, but I keep forgetting." The girl then looked at me with a smile and said, "Don't worry about that. If you forgot, it probably wasn't important. Now, let's drink a couple of drinks and live in the moment." So I stopped trying to remember what it was, and I agreed. We talked all through the night without a care in the world, and my mind felt free. We eventually made our way to my room, and as she walked in, the first thing she noticed was the pink mirror on my bed. She then picked it up and said, "Whoa, you know they don't allow these in here." I responded with, "Yeah, I know, but I can't remember how or why I brought it in." The girl then looked at herself in the mirror while saying, "Well, it's good that you did. It's been a while since I've seen my face in the mirror. It's such a weird rule, isn't it?" I started to say, "Yeah, I know," before I stopped speechless. I let out a gut-wrenching scream as the girl in my room turned to look at me in shock. She then started to ask me, "What happened? Why did you scream?" But when I tried to speak, I started to stutter. I was so scared that I couldn't find the words to speak or say what I had just seen. And while I couldn't say it then, looking back at it now, what horrified me to the bone was what I saw when the girl picked up the mirror. I was standing behind her, so I managed to get a glimpse of her reflection, and I knew without a doubt that when she looked into that mirror, the reflection that looked back was not the woman standing in my room. The person I saw in that mirror was much more different. She was a haggard old woman with little to no hair. Her eyes were completely white, and her skin hung off her frail skeleton. The woman's reflection truly looked like someone who was over 1,000 years old, and I knew she wasn't human because humans don't live that long. As the fear filled every inch of my body, I felt my thoughts and memories begin to come back, and the first word that ran through my mind was, "Leave." So with no hesitation, I picked up the mirror she had dropped, and I bolted. As I ran down the hallway, the motel's staff started chasing after me while screaming the words,
"No mirrors! No mirrors!"
The hallway's lights began to dim, and I couldn't see the door I was running to anymore. As I looked back at the motel's staff, I screamed as the people that were once human now looked like morbid creatures. It's really hard to describe, but they were all 6 feet tall creatures with pale white skin. They had slits for eyes, and they bore no mouths. But even then, I could still hear them screaming the words,
"No mirrors! No mirrors!"
I couldn't see where I was running to now, as the hallway was completely dark, but I kept running. I eventually saw a door, and as I dashed toward it, within seconds, I was finally outside. And even though I couldn't see or hear them anymore, I kept running. I ran all the way to the nearest police station, screaming at the top of my lungs. When I arrived, I wasn't making sense to the cops, so they told me to calm down. It was hard, but I eventually did. They then gave me a report to fill, and I filled it out by writing everything that happened. I was then told to tell them the exact date the incident happened so they could write it down. So I told them, saying, "It happened today, on the 13th of October, 2007. Chuckles filled the room as the cop took my statement, said,
"2007? Have you been drinking, sir? It's 2012.
At first, I thought they were playing some kind of sick prank, so I started shouting, "Stop messing with me! I remember the date. It happened today, on 13th October, 2007. Silence filled the room as everyone was tense now. The officer then said, "Well, today is 13th of October, but the year is 2012. Frustrated now, I grabbed him by the shirt and I told him to stop messing with me. The officer then said,
"Sir, I know you're under a lot of stress and a bit delusional, but you're assaulting an officer, so please take your hand off my shirt."
But I didn't. I thought the cops at the station were still trying to pull a sick trick on me. A trick that wasn't funny, and with all the fear, confusion, and rage I felt, I didn't think about what I did next as I punched the cop in the face.
Within minutes, I was in cuffs and I was charged with assaulting an officer. I was taken to court where I stood by my case, but everyone just looked at me like I was a crazy person. The court deemed me mentally insane as my lawyer pleaded insanity. I was then taken to a mental institution where I was locked up and told to undergo rehabilitation. It's been 10 years now since I've been put in this place. Numerous psychologists have come to fix me, but I know what happened, and I stand by it. Last month, I asked for a pen and a book so that I could write down my experience and share it with the world. So, to whoever is seeing this, I don't care if you believe me or not. Society has deemed me a madman and thrown me into an asylum without hearing what I have to say. None of you were there, so you have no right to judge me. I know what happened in that motel is true. I don't know how they did it, but they took away 5 years of my life in one night. The funny thing is, as you people ignore me and lock me up in a cage, they are still out there, waiting for unlucky travelers. And any one of you people hearing my story could be next.
I apologize in advance for not being the best storyteller, but this is definitely a true story. It's also not my story as much as it is my mom's, who used to work at a motel in California back in the 80s. Anyways, one day a guy shows up to book a room, and I'm just going to refer to this guy as the guest, since I don't actually know his name. My mom got assigned to clean his room on the daily, but as time went by, she noticed that he always had the Do Not Disturb sign up on his room. So even like a week into his stay, she never once had a chance to clean his room. This didn't bother the cleaning staff too much, because the way my mom tells it, the guy was always super nice and friendly whenever he passed reception or bumped into any of the cleaning staff, always apologizing and telling them that he'd just clean up after himself. So if it saved them some work, they weren't exactly going to complain about it. Anyways, there came a point where the guy wasn't seen for a few days, and the Do Not Disturb sign wasn't on the door anymore, so everyone figured that he just checked out and they'd be able to clean the room again. So given that my mom had been assigned to the room like a month before, it came down to her to head over to clean it. As she got to the floor and unlocked the door to the room, a disturbing smell hit her. She couldn't figure out what it was, but she continued to survey the room, which, contrary to the guest's previous assurances, was disgustingly messy. Her words were that it looked like someone had thrown a party, even though everyone was pretty sure that no one else seemed to have ever gone into the room besides the guest. Anyways, my mom was still shocked by the smell, so she tried to track it down. Then as she followed the smell, she could tell it was coming from the hotel room closet. When she opened the closet, there was nothing but a wet-looking cardboard box on the ground. And my mom said the smell got way more intense, so she could tell it was coming from there. She said she had a strong suspicion that the guests had been using it to go to the bathroom in, so the last thing she wanted to do was look inside it. Instead, she puts on some gloves and covers up her mouth and nose, then picks the thing up to throw it into the trash. That's when she felt how heavy it was, like way heavier than if there was just some feces inside it or something. It was only when one of the other cleaning ladies smelled the same smell that they straight up said, "Somebody call the cops." Apparently, a few years before, the same cleaning lady had found a dead body in a room, as someone had a heart attack with the Do Not Disturb sign on the door, and it took almost 2 weeks before they finally went to investigate. She said it was like the exact same kind of rotting smell. Definitely not anything else from the human body, so they called the cops so they could come take a look at it. The cops showed up, cut open the box with everyone watching. Then the officer just looked up to his partner with this numb expression, saying, "Call the coroner. We're going to 419. Someone had to explain to my mom that the number was police code for dead body. Only it wasn't like a whole body in there. That much was obvious because the box was too small. It turned out to be just a decapitated head. I don't really know many more details than that. This is almost 40 years ago now, and I couldn't find any internet archive stuff before I wrote this up, but my mom said that there was talk of the head belonging to a call girl who had gone missing a few weeks before. They gave all the guy's info to the cops, but apparently that didn't help. The credit card was stolen, and the guy had used the name on that card. Imagine being that person whose credit card got stolen, though. One day you think you've lost it or something, and then the next, the cops show up accusing you of having murdered a girl. Mom stayed working at the motel for maybe like a year afterward, and she only quit when she met my dad and moved into his place up in Vallejo. That story always kept me from ever wanting to work in a hotel or motel or anything like that, and no matter how desperate for money I get, I think I'd have to be very, very desperate to work anywhere you might see the darker side of human nature.